This podcast is for investment professionals only. The value of investments and the income from them may go down as well as up, and investors may not get back the amounts originally invested. Past performance is not a guide to future performance. The information is not an offer, solicitation, or recommendation of any funds, services, or products, or to adopt any investment strategy.
Welcome to the Investor Download, the podcast about the themes driving markets and the economy now and in the future. I'm your host, David Brett.
2021 was a blowout year for the economy and markets.
Well, today's figures show that the economy is recovering very strongly, fastest quarterly growth.
Wall Street's biggest bull predicting a market melt-up between now and year-end, and he also expects momentum stocks to play a major role.
The S&P 500 index is up over 18% year-to-date.
But it wasn't without its problems.
The pandemic is at the root of the challenge that we're facing. Obviously, much of the world economy shut down. It then came roaring back with a vengeance. Consumer spending obviously was very strong emerging from the pandemic, and there's only so much capacity to move those goods. The pipes are only so big.
The number one economic worry for millionaires right now is inflation.
The Omicron variant has now been reported in 57 countries.
Which leave question marks over 2022.
If it does lead to bigger lockdowns, if it does turn out to be more serious, then there would be a reappraisal and you could see the world economy hit a bit of an air pocket.
That's Keith Wade, chief economist at Schroders.
The actions of the central banks and fiscal authorities was to put stabilizers on that wobbly bicycle for the last 2 years. Those stabilizers are coming off.
And that's Johanna Kirkland, Schroders chief investment officer. And on today's show, we're going to look at the outlook for 2022 and why things will never be the same again. But in the first part of the show, we'll tackle the two biggest issues facing investors in 2022, inflation and Omicron.
On Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts, you're listening to the Investor Download.
It's going to be difficult to start an outlook without addressing the rather large elephant in the room.
Long queues at vaccination centres across the UK today after last night's dramatic announcement of a huge acceleration in the booster campaign and a huge growth in Omicron infections.
The situation is very interesting, especially at the moment. It's very unclear which impact this will have on public health.
The British government has announced the first death of a person with the Omicron variant of COVID-19. It says the strain now accounts for 20% of all cases in England and expects it to become the dominant strain in London by Wednesday.
The concern is real about the new variant, but what we don't know is how deadly it might be. The more serious, the more restrictions there are likely to be as countries try to protect their health services. And ultimately, any restrictions will affect the economy in 2022.
In terms of the impact on the economy, the difficulty is knowing how serious it will be. The incubation period is 2 to 3 weeks. So, you know, we're not really going to have a good idea of the impact on the health service as a result of Omicron until that period is through. So, you know, in terms of people catching it and then being admitted to hospital, you know, we've got a couple of weeks yet before we really know the picture there. The initial reports are that it is less serious, but the problem is that if you have a very large number of people catching it, even if the rate of hospitalization is quite low, that could still mean quite big numbers and could put strain on the different health services. So, you know, clearly governments are beginning to take actions to increase restrictions and prevent the spread of Omicron, or at least limit it. And then that would perhaps give the aim is to give the health service a little bit more capacity, a little bit more of a breather. We'll have to see as to whether or not lockdowns increase and we see more restrictions on travel. If we do see that, then there would be more of a hit to the economy. I mean, certainly in Europe and here in the UK, the restrictions on Christmas parties or people's decisions not to hold those gatherings, I mean, clearly that's another blow to the hospitality industry, which was just beginning to get back on its feet. And of course, you know, Christmas is a period when a lot of expenditure takes place.
Through no fault of their own, hospitality businesses are seeing their takings fall at what would normally be one of the busiest times of the year. And so it's really important that the government steps forward with a package of support for hospitality.
So there will be a hit to the European economies and economies elsewhere. But I'm distinguishing between those two because, I mean, the US, I think, would probably go for less restrictions, so it could be less affected in the way it had done previously. There may be some restrictions introduced, but maybe not enough to cause a big impact on the economy.
We knew that it was just a matter of time before the first case of Omicron would be detected in the United States.
There's a lot we don't know. So putting in place these travel restrictions was intended to give us more time to do the necessary evaluation data.
And then, of course, Asia is still pursuing lockdowns or zero COVID strategies, closing borders and so on. So, you know, we'll be trying to keep Omicron out. So I don't think a lot will really change in terms of the picture there. So we'll be looking at more of a hit from Europe.
And that's before taking into account the impact of the Delta variant, which was already impacting Europe.
Just days after getting the go-ahead to set up their stalls, retailers are now shutting up shop as rising COVID cases force local authorities in Munich to cancel the city's Christmas market for the second year running.
But the threat's not just confined to Europe. It's global, and it's already hitting financial markets.
Those areas of the market that were more exposed to the reopening trade, like US small caps or airline stocks, have obviously been suffering since this news. So they've been discounted. But we've seen other parts of the market continue to rise because ultimately earnings more broadly are still quite strong. So to some extent, the market is looking through some of the Omicron concerns. And I think partly this is because we have been through this a few times. We have a framework for thinking about it. We know the areas which are exposed. We can avoid those. But that doesn't mean you have to sell the whole market.
Unfortunately, Omicron isn't the only elephant in the room. The slightly smaller one is inflation. Commentators have been insisting for some time that inflation will be transitory. But it's starting to feel a little bit more permanent and prices feel like they're heading in one direction. And that's up. And unfortunately, it could be affected by Omicron.
Well, Omicron can affect inflation because if it does lead to disruption, that could mean that supply chains take longer to get back to normal. And the problem that we've seen is the shortages that are creating higher inflation, pushing up prices because people, you know, are restricted as to what they can buy. So it could make things worse in that respect. But I think the picture with inflation should gradually begin to improve. I mean, one of the important developments we've seen, of course, is a fallback in the oil price, and that has played a big part in pushing up inflation everywhere.
Crude oil crossing the $80 mark for the first time since 2014. WTI is now up 7 weeks in a row, its longest winning streak of the year.
I think the picture with inflation, we do have commodity prices beginning to roll over, and that's going to help. So it will bring down the oil price, and that will feed through into petrol prices and so on. But what we have seen with inflation is that the core rate of inflation has been picking up as well. So it does look as though it's going to be a bit more persistent than we originally expected, because we are seeing prices outside of the oil price beginning to rise, what we call the core rate, which is the CPI excluding food and energy. The other thing we're watching very closely is what we call the second round effects on inflation, the wage side, the expectation side. And there is evidence that, you know, people now are going to get higher wage rises because of the shortages that we spoke about. And in a way, the way I think about it is that the economy has been sort of fast forwarded a bit to a later stage of the cycle. We don't normally see these kind of pressures until much further on, but because the speed of recovery has been so rapid, we are seeing them at an earlier stage.
Despite inflation concerns, markets have seen very little impact.
You know, we're sitting here with very low bond yields. And certainly market expectations seem to be that ultimately this inflation will be transitory. So I'd say this year it's had no impact, which is quite interesting in itself. I think, you know, for 2022, the key issue is that the central banks will start to respond to that inflation. They do have to start normalising policy. And, you know, as I said, that means that basically central bank liquidity will be peaking, will be withdrawing. And we're already starting to see evidence of that impacting the market. You know, some of the frothier areas of the market are struggling now. So I think that it does pose a speed limit to returns. I still see some upside in 2022 driven by earnings. But we have to recognise this cycle is maturing and the outsized gains are behind us.
So that's a broad overview of the potential effects of both Omicron and inflation on the economy and markets in 2022. In the next part of the show, we're going to have a bit more of a deep dive into the economic outlook.
Get in touch with us by email at schroederspodcasts@schroeders.com or visit our website, schroeders.com/investor download.
Global growth blew the lights out in 2021 as the economy began to emerge from lockdown. However, the economic recovery was unbalanced, both in terms of regions and sectors. Economies making progress with vaccinations, such as in Europe and the US, tended to outperform emerging economies. That's something we'd not seen for a long time. And sectors such as retail and entertainment, directly affected by a nervous return by the consumer, underperformed too. But will it continue into 2022?
Growth will continue to be unbalanced because we still have strong demand and the goods sector is still operating at a very high level of capacity. The recovery in the service sector is gradually coming through, but of course it probably will be delayed a little bit by Omicron. So it means that that unbalanced recovery is going to, you know, continue for a bit longer, which is part of the reason why we continue to be concerned about inflation for a little bit longer. But our expectation is that these supply bottlenecks do begin to ease over the course of 2022. And that should enable a better trade-off eventually coming through between growth and inflation. So we'd expect growth to gradually improve a little bit through the course of the year and for inflation to come down. So there's still quite a positive outlook.
That view is supported by data showing business inventory remains low and purchasing managers keen to buy stock, both pointing towards the potential for expansion, certainly for the early part of 2022.
One of the big uncertainties about the outlook is to what extent does the consumer come through? We've described 2022 as the year when the consumer basically has to take over from the fiscal side. So the private sector takes over more from the fiscal side.
Keith says while corporate spending is promising, the consumer is critical. He expects consumers to spend huge amounts of savings still pent up during lockdown. For instance, Americans added nearly $4 trillion to their savings during the pandemic, according to a new study from Oxford Economics. The US is home to the world's largest consumer market, but the savings rate as a percentage of disposable income peaked at just below 35% during the height of the pandemic, according to data from DataStream. Keith says for consumers to play their part in furthering the recovery, the savings ratio would need to fall below its pre-pandemic average of 7.5%, as excess savings are spent to help make up for governments withdrawing financial support for the economy.
We've had lots of fiscal support over the last couple of years, and that's obviously kept the economy going, but that's being wound down now. And although there will be more fiscal support coming through in the US, you know, it'll be less than it was before. The one region where I think fiscal support is probably going to hold up the best is Europe. And that's why we've continued to forecast some pretty good growth rates coming through for the European economy in 2022. The area that still looks like it's slowing down and maybe just beginning to show a few signs of turning around, that area, of course, is China. So China, I think, will be slowing in the first part of next year before we see a recovery. So it's still quite a mixed picture. It's not very synchronised at the moment.
And Keith acknowledges there are threats to consumer spending, in particular from Omicron.
If it does lead to bigger lockdowns, if it does turn out to be more serious, then there would be a reappraisal and you could see the world economy hit a bit of an air pocket as a result of that.
But there's also inflation, which remains persistent and might need to be controlled by a rise in interest rates. We've already seen the Bank of England raise rates for the first time in 3 years, despite the threat of Omicron.
It is actually something of a surprise. They, you know, a lot of people thought they might raise interest rates this time around, but what with the new variant coming to the UK in the last few days, that had diminished that expectation. They've raised interest rates. They were down at 0.1%. They are now 0.25%. So it's up by 0.15%, 15 basis points, as they call it.
And Keith expects others to follow.
This sets the backdrop for the central banks, and with that more persistent inflation, we do see them tightening policy over the course of the year. The Fed, I think, will probably now move around about the middle of the year. We're bringing that rate rise forward because of the recent inflation data that we've seen and the continued strength of the labour market. And also, although politically it may be difficult to be tightening policy with Omicron picking up, the surveys suggest that consumer confidence has been quite dented by the pickup in inflation. So from a political point of view, I think the Fed would probably be best placed to be seen to be actually doing something about inflation. That is the big worry that people are reporting. And of course, it's the thing that Joe Biden's been very focused on as well. I mean, he released oil from the Strategic Reserve to try and bring down prices. That's been reasonably successful. And
the pain at the pump is being felt by Americans nationwide.
Nowadays, for this car, it's almost $100. So, yes, it's insane.
So tonight, President Biden is trying to rein in prices with a bold move.
I will do what needs to be done to reduce the price you pay at the pump.
50 million barrels of oil will be released from the nation's strategic reserves. That's a drop in the bucket since the U.S.
Of course,
uses
he's persuaded Saudi Arabia to increase production as well. So, he's very focused on that. So I think the Fed will have the political cover to do some tightening. First of all, I think they will probably speed up the taper a little bit, maybe bring that to an end by March. We'll see on that. And then we get some rate rises. But I don't think that tightening will be particularly aggressive. I still think that a lot of what the Fed has put down in terms of its ground rules for policy mean that they will move more slowly than they have done in previous cycles. So the talk about maximum employment and so on, I think it's going to continue to be a big focus for them. So if they raise rates in the middle of next year, I think they'll probably wait until the end of the year before going again. And I think they'd move quite slowly through 2023. Elsewhere, the picture is slightly different, reflecting the slight desynchronization. Europe is going to be on hold. And for China, we think the general theme will be more towards easing, because our longer leading indicators suggest to us that more stimulus needs to go into the Chinese economy to be sure that it begins to turn around next year. At the moment, policy still looks a little bit tight.
Well, central banks are independent. Raising interest rates at a time when governments are looking to raise taxes and cut spending is rarely a vote winner for ruling parties. So a delicate balance will be required.
Swings in fiscal policy, I think, are going to be important in shaping the growth next year, and particularly resulting in regional differences. UK is actually tightening policy quite aggressively. So we've got increases in income tax bans, national insurance contributions and corporation tax. And, you know, the furlough scheme has come to an end. And although spending will remain high, the net fiscal stimulus will be much less than what we've seen. In fact, for some people, it could turn negative. I think there could be quite a squeeze on the UK consumer next year, because we could see another round of gas price increases as well, which is one of the reasons why inflation is likely to persist for longer. And I think people will feel that in their pockets. So it could be a little bit of a difficult time for the UK economy. And if the Bank of England are going to be tightening, they'll be quite limited in what they do. And it may be that we don't see any rate rises at all next year.
So that's the outlook for the global economy in 2022. In the final part of the show, we'll focus on markets. Fund managers tend to have a fairly miserable disposition because even when performance is strong, they inevitably worry about how they're going to generate returns in the future. After such a strong year for markets, this concern is even more pronounced. Last year, the vaccine announcements inspired confidence in a reopening trade, which offered high returns with limited risks. Global stocks for instance, broadly have risen in 2021, despite the pandemic. The MSCI World Index of Global Stocks is up around 20% over the last year. That's at the time of recording. And that's been a familiar theme since the peak of the financial crisis in 2009. So will 2022 be any different?
Well, we have to distinguish, I think, between markets after the financial crisis and markets post-pandemic. But essentially, after the financial crisis, we saw central banks embark on the policy of quantitative easing, which essentially borrowed returns from the future, pinned down interest rates and supported valuations for stocks and bonds. The pandemic accelerated that trend because obviously we saw even looser monetary policy. But I guess what's been changing now is the trend in inflation. So over the past decade, central banks could run a very loose policy because there was no evidence of inflation. Things are shifting a bit from that perspective, as Keith has already mentioned. We are expecting central banks to start to withdraw liquidity. And ultimately, I think we're in an environment for the next few years where we're likely to see more inflationary concern. So I think we're entering, you know, we are shifting into a slightly different regime. So things are shifting. And just because stocks have ignored the pandemic over the last year, I don't think we can assume they can continue to ignore fundamentals. And ultimately, growth is peaking and central bank liquidity is peaking. Still some upside, but it's going to be a lot more muted from here.
There's the threat of withdrawal of government stimulus too. That stimulus has gone into trillions of dollars around the globe and helped businesses and markets remain buoyant during a time of so much uncertainty surrounding the pandemic and restrictions.
I think it's difficult for governments to fully withdraw fiscal policy because ultimately, you know, something like this pandemic, and we're seeing it right now with the rollout of the boosters in the UK, I mean, ultimately, I think governments will still step in. But it's certainly true that over the last couple of years, the market has essentially benefited from both monetary and fiscal policy acting as a backstop for any weakness in demand. And ultimately now they have to start to withdraw some of that stimulus because it can't go on forever. And we're going to need private sector demand to step up. So that is a potential risk, I think, for markets. It's this idea that, again, the backstop is being withdrawn, right? So ultimately we need that private sector demand to come through. As Keith is saying, there is some evidence that demand is there, and actually the outlook for corporate earnings is still reasonably firm. But inevitably, it does mean that risks are rising just because you don't have the same support from the authorities that you had before. And, you know, to stretch an analogy to the nth degree, I mean, before the pandemic, you know, Keith and I were always talking about the wobbly bicycle recovery, you know, very anemic growth, which meant that any gust of wind could blow you off course. And essentially, the actions of the central banks and fiscal authorities was to put stabilizers on that wobbly bicycle for the last 2 years. Those stabilizers are coming off, and now we just have to hope that private sector demand is strong enough to keep growth rates going.
So where do the opportunities for investors lie?
Well, I think on the equity side, I mean, our stock pick is obviously focused on companies with pricing power, given the challenges of rising input costs, and that's something that's very stock specific. At market level, you know, we continue to like the United States because it is still providing the most dynamic recovery globally. You know, Keith was mentioning some of the challenges of Europe, particularly with Omicron now. It's interesting that policy is potentially turning more stimulative in China at a time when the Western world is tightening. And I think that is an interesting opportunity as we head into 2022. So some opportunities on the equity side. In terms of diversifying the portfolios, we still think commodities are an interesting asset class because of that inflation risk, which comes not just from the impact of all the stimulus, but also the decarbonisation trend. And with regard to government bonds, I mean, there's pressure at the short end as central banks raise rates. Ultimately, we expect yields to go up a bit. But I wouldn't get too worried about bonds because ultimately, you still have big parts of the world like Japan and Europe with zero or negative rates. And that does exert a gravitational pull on US yields at the long end. So we expect the curve to flatten in 2022. So, you know, some upside pressure on bond yields. But again, I wouldn't see it. It's ultimately quite stable. And ultimately, I think a good hedge in the portfolio continues to be the dollar. Because if you're concerned that central bank liquidity is tightening, the dollar is a good position in the portfolio to hedge against that. I mean, 2021 and 2020 were very strong years, and we're not going to get that again. So I would say, if I was doing a traffic light, I'd say we've gone from green, potentially turning a bit to amber. I don't think it's a time for taking huge risks, actually.
Well, that's the final show of the year. A very special thank you to you, the listener, for sticking with us throughout what's been a tumultuous year. And a very big thank you to all the guests that appeared on the show, speaking on a vast range of subjects. We'll be back in the very first week of the new year with a brand new show. But until then, have a very, very happy holiday season and a prosperous new year. And we'll speak to you in a couple of weeks' time.